This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top stories of the day, Cleveland Browns defensive end. We already talked about Stafford a bit, but Myles Garrett won his second NFL Defensive Player of the Year award on Thursday night. It was like a unanimous vote. I mean, he broke the record. He broke the sack record, Mike, so it makes sense. Myles Garrett gets Defensive Player of the Year. Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's going to be playing this weekend, was named the Offensive Player of the Year. And the Offensive Rookie of the Year, Arizona dude that I watched quite a bit, Teddy Aurora, is that how you say it? I always screw his name up. McMillan, the wide receiver. He was the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Carson Schwesinger, Defensive Rookie of the Year. Comeback Player of the Year was Christian McCaffrey. And Mike Vrabel was the Coach of the Year.
No surprise there on Coach of the Year.
No.
I would have voted for him, too.
You would have? Over your guy? Over Sean?
Well, I mean, I expected the Broncos to be that, so...
Yeah.
Well, I expected, you know me.
I mean, what Mike Vrabel's done, faces Ben Johnson was robbed. Yeah, he could make a case for it because nobody expected Chicago to do anything, right?
I mean, nobody expected either of them to do anything.
Yeah.
I guess it could be 50-50.
These are all regular season awards, though, right? This doesn't have anything to do with what you've done in the playoffs?
No, and it shouldn't.
You make a good point, Faith. You do make a good point.
You know what? I'm going to take it back, actually.
Ben Johnson should have got this.
I thought the Bears would just be awful.
Yeah. I mean, for Vrabel, nobody expected the Patriots to do anything. But the Bears? Like, we were all having those conversations about Caleb Williams, and is he actually going to make? And now look what they did, man.
I mean, I wasn't so down on Caleb Williams like a lot of people
were.
I
figured he'd be all right. I figured he'd turn it around.
Yeah, I knew he'd turn it around. I didn't know he'd turn it around so quickly. And good for him.
Yeah,
I still hate
the
man because he came from USC, but what a talent.
I loved watching him in college. And listen, he's a unique guy. He's got a unique personality, and I for one, love that kind of stuff. I like characters, man. I don't want everybody just to be robots out there. Faith, you're probably right. I mean, would they go 11 and they win 11 games this year? They've been bad for a while. Yeah, probably, maybe he got robbed. But Mike Vrabel does also, like, it's not a knock. Like, I don't want to sit here and say, man, he doesn't deserve it. They were 4-13. And then went 14-3 before he got there. 4-13, Mike. Why did the Titans fire Mike Vrabel? Why? It doesn't make any sense to me. Another one here on the top stories of the day. Did you see this one? Browns defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz is leaving. He resigned as the Cleveland Browns defensive coordinator. He was passed over for the coaching job in favor of Todd Monken. Now, we know that's an interesting one to me. That reminds me kind of a Vic Fangio type of hire. But is Schwartz saying, hey, I mean, he was a finalist to replace Kevin Stefanski, and being overlooked obviously did not sit well with him. And now he just put in his resignation today. So fascinating there. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. A couple other bullet points here too, just on the awards and everything. Myles Garrett is a freak of nature, Mike. You can't. I mean, I know we got some great defensive players, Patrick Surtain and Nick Benito. Those are phenomenal, but you cannot. I mean, you can't really argue. That guy is. He's a one man wrecking crew.
I like Micah Parsons better.
He was out most of the season.
Like Micah.
He was out most of the season.
I know. I just wanted to say that. Look, I did not like. Why is it the last two times someone has broken a sack record, the quarterback has gone, oh, dear,
is that what? And I didn't see it. Is that what happened? Is that what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. You go watch the quarterback. Oh, no, I've fallen. There's ice or something, moisture on the ground.
Mm. Faith says our schedule was harder, too, with Chicago's. Yeah. I mean, the Patriots had a really easy schedule. So did the Broncos. They both did.
Faith, keep preaching. You have converted me.
The NFL is looking to improve the face masks to reduce concussions. Is that, I guess, well, if that's something they're looking to do, I'm guessing that must be a big issue.
I mean, like, you can get hit in the face mask and you're fall the
what
way
would
back.
You do, though? What would you do?
Springs.
I don't know, man.
I mean, you can make it like sturdy, but like movable enough to where, like, if someone hits you right in the face mask moves. I guess.
I don't know. I'm curious to see what a picture would look like on this.
No, the top of the helmets where it's like they have that.
Yeah.
That completely different piece.
It's
I'm
like
wondering
an absorption,
if they're going to try to do something like that.
I don't know
where the mask attaches to the face.
The league announced today at an innovation summit for the Super Bowl that the next round in the Health Tech Challenge series, a crowdsourced competition designed to accelerate the development of cutting-edge football helmets and new standards for player safety. They're trying to design new helmets and how face masks absorb and reduce the effects of contact on the field.
Love it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're not going to knock them for trying to make the game, you know, try to protect dudes and not get as many concussions. Big Hub says Browns did Myles Garrett dirty by hiring Monken. Is that, that's a weird hire. That is a weird hire, man. I do not see how that's going to work out for Cleveland. That was just one of those moves where it felt a lot. Again, it felt a lot like the Broncos hiring Vic Fangio. I was like, I'll admit, I didn't know much about Vance Joseph before, if he was going to be a good coach. The Nathaniel Hackett hire certainly seemed strange, even at the time. But when Vic Fangio was a finalist, I was like, you're not going to go with it. I mean, a great defensive coordinator, never was a head coach before. And then you make him, you know, he's 60. What was he, 60 when they hired him, Mike? This reminds me of that move with what the Browns did. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Michael, I found this and I wanted to go over this with you. CBS Sports they ranked every single Super Bowl. Best Super Bowls. Do you have any idea what would be they're ranked number one Super Bowl of all time?
I can tell you what mine is, and it's Super Bowl 32.
Well, what do you think is like a consensus that are not Broncos fans? Everyone knows your Super Bowl is the Broncos.
Are they going to go with Super Bowl 3? Because that's a good upset, but that wasn't too exciting of a game.
What Super Bowl was the I'm terrible with the numbers. The Patriots and the Seahawks is their number one. When the Pats won 28-24 on a lot of controversy surrounding that game. Deflategate was still being investigated at that point. Russell Wilson threw the interception to Malcolm Butler. That was a wild game. Remember how that finished?
Yeah, there was a bit of a pushing and shoving towards the end.
Well, Jermaine Kearse gets that crazy catch. The Seahawks get up on the 1 yard line, and they don't run it with Marshawn Lynch, and they throw the ball. That's one of the biggest whoops moments in NFL history. Maybe the biggest. I thought Mike McDonald, he was asked about that play, Mike, specifically, and he's like, listen, man, they won a Super Bowl. They got to the Super Bowl. It's so hard to do that kind of thing. I'm not going to sit up here and try to second guess any of the great coaches or great players who are part of it. So he answered it really well. But that's their number one. That's the number one Super Bowl of all time.
You know, if they had run it and not gotten it, everybody would have said, why didn't they pass?
Yeah.
So I can understand why they threw it.
I don't know. That's one of those where it's just like, I'm not questioning the decision. It's Marshawn Lynch, man.
I would have run the ball, though.
Yes. I don't know that as many people would freak out. If they maybe they don't get it. I mean,
people would still freak out, but like you're right. Not as many people would freak out because
it's Marshawn
he had
Lynch.
Been running all over them.
Yeah. He'd been doing it all season. Number two, I'm terrible with Roman numerals, Michael. I'm terrible. Are you good at Roman numerals?
Once it gets past the X's, the V's, and the I's, I'm confused.
What's XLII?
What was it?
XLII. You don't know? I don't know either.
Because the X is in front of the L,
mm-hmm.
So that, I think, takes away 10 from the L, does it?
30-something?
No.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know how to do it. It's so dumb. I don't like how they do it.
Stupid Romans.
Number two on the list is New York Giants. Tanner will love this. The Giants beating the Patriots 17-14. Is that the helmet catch? Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
And then with David Tyree, where he put that helmet like on his, or he put the football like on his helmet.
That is the greatest catch in Super Bowl history.
Yeah, that way. And listen, how that play unfolded was Eli Manning avoiding a sack, showing some fancy feet moves.
And they were right not to blow the whistle.
The
refs almost blew the whistle. Like, a lot of people think, oh, he should have been sacked.
Yeah. Well, I never thought he was that close. Was that close to blowing the whistle? I thought he was still upright and he was still moving.
He was upright, but like, you know, forward momentum, a bunch of guys holding on to him. I've heard the argument,
They have number three listed here as the Eagles win over the Patriots with Nick Foles, 41-33. They have number three. That's their number three Super Bowl.
Who wrote this? Some 23-year-old?
It's CBSSports.com.
Some 23-year-old wrote it.
Number four is the Patriots comeback win over the Falcons. That was pretty epic.
Yes, granted, that is in the top five.
It was 28-3, Mike. It was 28-3, and the Patriots come all the way back to win. I'm just trying to see, like, where they have the Broncos. Where's the Broncos? I mean, Super Bowl 32 should rank up there. I would say that would be a top 10.
Person a Packers fan?
That was a really good game. Ooh, they have number 10, the Steelers-Cardinals Super Bowl from several years ago. That was a back and forth game.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, James Harrison's interception touchdown return in the first half. Touchdown throw to Santonio Holmes. Larry Fitzgerald. That was Kurt Warner. That was a good one.
That's one that I really would have wanted not just because of my hatred for the Steelers, but also like Larry Fitzgerald. Who hates that guy?
No, I don't.
He's just such a lovable guy. Kurt Warner, another guy.
The first Broncos on the Broncos Super Bowl on the list here is Super Bowl is number 16. It come in at number 16. Is the Broncos beating the Packers 31-24.
That's stupid.
That was a great one, though.
There are a lot of like epic moments in there, and you have a team that's supposed to lose. They're 14-point dogs, yet they still win.
Were they that big of dogs?
They were 14 at that point. It was the second.
No kidding! Wow.
I believe the Jets were 17, the Broncos were 14, and I think now the biggest was whoever beat the it might have been the Rams over the Patriots, who is the number one biggest upset.
Aaron texting in, I think if Seattle ran it with Marshawn Lynch and it didn't and didn't make it, most people would have been more accepting than their attempt to pass the ball. I think so too.
Yeah, agreed.
I don't if it's a random running back, you know, maybe one that's not Marshawn Lynch, maybe, but it's Marshawn Lynch. Faith says, okay, I can't remember the number, but the lights out game was good. Was that with the Ravens and the Niners?
Yeah, Ravens and Niners, and then there's that a was conspiracy the one, theory behind that, which is dumb.
That was the one the Broncos probably should have had, right? That wasn't that because they lost to the Ravens in that,
yeah,
in that playoff game, and it was one of the worst losses, maybe the worst loss ever.
Raheem the Dream Moore.
Yeah, right. And I liked Raheem.
I did too, but after that, it was like, ugh.
Yeah, that was bad. That was really, really bad. And we talked about that. That play is worse than Stidy's mishap.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, quarterbacks, you see quarterbacks do that, like,
yeah,
I'm sorry,
I
but
agree.
Like,
no.
That's the one
job.
Thing you cannot do
you.
In that situation.
Yeah, you know, just that's the one thing you can't do.
Quarterbacks
can do
a lot
of other things
you can't do. Safeties on that kind of play,
Stidham,
the
yeah,
one
don't,
thing.
Don't fumble it. But, dude, it's harder with quarterbacks when they have the ball in their hands all the time for me to just say, that's the worst. I mean, it's going to go up there. That's definitely one of the worst plays in Broncos history, in playoff history.
Yeah, and there, but to be fair, backup quarterback and a bunch of angry guys running at you, and you've only had a week to prepare. And yeah, you've been on the team for a couple of years, but you're trying to make a play. He's trying to make a play. It's one of those I have to make a play moments. I would have done it. You might have done it. Like
they
a lot of people would.
Yeah, I get you. Number 24 on here, and this is I always thought this was a great game, but the story around it was interesting. The Patriots beating the Philadelphia Eagles 24-21 when Donovan McNabb was the quarterback. That was Andy Reid as the head coach. Donovan McNabb, I remember watching that game, and the Eagles had the ball way back in their own side. And I was like, why are they not going? What? They're going so slow, they don't have enough time. Well, turns out, like, Donovan McNabb was sick. He puked in the huddle. I mean, it was a hell of a game. Terrell Owens had a broken leg and still had an amazing game.
I thought he was just out of shape. That's why he was tired.
I did, too. I was like, man, what is going on here? But I think he was sick.
I mean, it was a close game. They had a good defense. Well, I mean, the Eagles had a good defense. But I always liked Donovan McNabb.
I did, too, man. I love Donovan McNabb.
I don't know anybody. Like, he was just such a likable dude.
Oh, and he did the Chunky Soup commercials all the time?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
That was back when Chunky Soup actually had chunks in it. Now it's just like, you know, you have a piece of meat and some, like, just
not soaked. As filling as they tell you it is. It's not as filling.
Like, Chunky Soup. Now I feel bad donating Chunky Soup because it's basically, like, liquid and, like, a piece of onion.
Hmm. 23 minutes after the hour. What is your favorite Super Bowl for the Broncos? Is it 32?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, has to be, right? Because it's the first one. It was this one's for John.
It was so close.
It was a great game.
And just some of the things that happened in that game, that helicopter tackle.
Oh, the helicopter by Elway?
Yeah.
We argued that. You and I were having an argument about that moment or Von Miller's strip sack of Cam Newton.
I think it was more an argument between like,
Tanner
you and
I.
Tanner.
Yeah, he is like 100% it's the helicopter move.
Tanner wasn't born yet.
Yeah, he was.
You know what? You're right. Tanner was born. He was like, he wasn't one yet.
I don't know. That it's hard. I would probably say I actually might be giving in on this one. The helicopter with John Elway.
Now we're going to fight about it.
Yeah. You say the Von Miller strip sack is the Oh, no.
The helicopter.
Yeah, why are we fighting about it? I said I'm probably leaning in. I'm probably going to give you that.
Oh, okay. I thought you were always helicopter.
Why were Tanner and I arguing? Because I think I'm of the mindset that the helicopter is the greatest play.
The helicopter is the greatest play. It has to do with where the Broncos were in that history, where
age
Elway
of the
was.
Quarterback. He hadn't done it before. It tells the story of this man will not allow this team to lose. I'm getting chills.
Yeah,
like,
at
just
that
won't
moment.
Allow it.
At that time, the Green Bay Packers had scored 10 points in a row. So it was 17-17. The Broncos were going in to get that 24-point touchdown. Mm-hmm. It was in the third quarter.
Yeah, that's definitely it. Some great legends, man. When you think about the winners of the Broncos Super Bowl, you know, some just great figures. Obviously, John Elway, Terrell Davis, Shannon Sharpe, Rod Smith. He had that. He had a great game. It wasn't against the Falcons when they just kind of torched him. They smoked him in that game.
Yeah, he had nothing in Super Bowl 32, but he said Super Bowl 32 was one of his favorite games because he just got to block the entire time.
So, he says Super Bowl 32 was his favorite?
One of his favorites. He just loved blocking. I think he's one of those wide receivers who's just like, he's a pure football player. He just loves everything about playing football, blocking,
Rod
catching.
Smith, though, in that Super Bowl 33, 5 receptions for 152 yards.
A lot of it was when he beat Eugene, what's his name? I can't remember the safety. He noticed that they were playing a certain way so that they were trying to, I think.
Eugene Robinson? Is it Eugene Robinson?
Yeah, Eugene Robinson. Yeah. So he noticed that Eugene Robinson was going more to the right. So he told John, if you throw it this way and I go to the left, then we'll have a sure touchdown.
Dude, look at the players, the legendary Broncos on this team. Obviously Elway, Terrell Davis, Howard Griffith. He had 2 touchdowns in that game. They just gave it to him. He just bowled over everybody. TD had 102 yards. Rod Smith, Ed McCaffrey, Shannon Sharpe, who's kind of quiet in that game.
No, he got hurt.
He got hurt, didn't he? Yeah.
He got hurt pretty early.
Yeah,
he got hurt, and then he was playing a little bit hurt.
Do you remember Byron Chamberlain? Remember him?
I do remember.
Yeah. Oh, how about that defense, though? Steve Atwater, Ray Crockett, Bill Romanowski, Darian Gordon. I mean, wasn't that the game he had like 2 or 3 interceptions?
I remember
him. Yeah, he had 2 picks in that game.
I do. My favorite game of his was when he ran back to kickoffs for a touchdown.
Ma Tanavasa. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 98.
John Mobley.
51.
Keith Traylor.
Hang on. I know this.
It's not. You trying to think of his number? I don't know.
I'll
Alfred
get
Williams?
It at some point.
Alfred Williams, man.
91.
Tyrone Braxton.
39.
Got a signed football card from him.
Really?
Probably worth millions.
Kind of want that.
Man. Neil Smith was on that team. Trevor Price was young.
No, Tyrone Braxton's 34.
Yeah. Thank you. We don't care. Neil Smith. Trevor 90. Price. I think Trevor Price was a rookie that year.
He was, 93.
Yeah, what a that roster. So those 2 years, man, that roster. Those are guys that are legends.
I can remember all those numbers back then. Now I can't learn anything new.
Numbers used to mean a lot more to me growing up than they do now. I don't know, because I bought jerseys and stuff, maybe. I don't know, 12:29 at the time. Mike, we need to take a break here. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Tell you guys about the Lift Up program here in Greeley. If you need a little lift up right now, City of Greeley's Lift Up program is here to help now through May 31st. One easy application could put money back into your pocket. Qualified residents may receive up to $100 from the low income and food tax rebate, plus $150 credited to your water utility bill. Real help for food and utilities when it matters most. Apply at greeleyco.gov/lift-up or call 970-350-9748. Michael, it's a very controversial Hall of Fame because Bill Belichick is not in it. Robert Kraft is not in it, the owner of the Patriots. He also missed out.
I'm sorry, but like our owner wasn't in it like right away, so I'm not too upset about it.
6 Super Bowls.
Really? The creator of Sunday Night Football.
I love Pat Bowlen.
The guy who talked to, like, he was the guy who brought the owners and the players together. Like, he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Over Robert Kraft?
Yes.
No, Mike, you're just... You're being
silly.
I am
being a bit of a homer.
Silly.
But,
yeah.
Like, yes, he did create Sunday Night Football. And, yes, he was a dependable owner who players loved, and he did work with the players' union.
Yes, I agree with that. But, at the end of the day, isn't it more about what your success looks like?
I mean, like, you could measure success in the fact that he helped the NFL get better and some of the shenanigans that are going on behind the doors. I don't recall any of that happening under Bowlen's
watch.
No,
but we're not talking about character. I mean, it's the Hall of Fame.
I mean, they're all talking about character right now.
Yeah, they are. That's why they're holding Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick out. They probably held Robert Kraft out so that it didn't look so bad that they held Bill Belichick out because they didn't want it to look like Robert Kraft had fixed something up. Wow. But no, the guys that are Drew Brees, Larry Fitzgerald, who you just talked about, Luke Kuechly, and kicker Adam Vinatieri, also running back Roger Craig. One of the three senior finalists will be in the 2026 Hall of Fame class. This is when you know you're getting old, Mike. Guys that I grew up watching are now in the Hall of Fame.
I'm surprised Roger Craig wasn't in earlier.
So do you have any issues with this list?
Other than Bill Belichick not being on it, I have no issues with this list. Good list.
Yeah. Yeah, Roger Craig, I mean, in his career... 8,100 yards in his career, 56 touchdowns.
Good numbers.
Good numbers. I always thought it was like 10,000 was kind of my running back number, but yeah. Did you watch a lot of Roger Craig? I didn't see a lot. I didn't really see any of his games that I can recall.
I didn't see his. I became a Broncos fan I became a football fan. In 1990, I didn't see his, what years was he playing?
Well, he was...
I know more by legend, I think.
Well, yeah. These are the guys that I have to let other people tell me if they're good enough to be in the Hall of Fame, because I didn't watch him. He played... He played... His last year was 1993.
Okay, so I did... I guess I would have seen a fair amount of him. I remember... Ricky Waters more as a 49er.
Ricky Waters, yeah. That's a good one.
Because in California, we didn't have cable or anything, so we had to watch broadcast TV. So it was always Rams and Raiders, Chargers and 49ers. And for some reason, the Cowboys.
Yeah, so that's a good list, man. That's a great list. These are dudes that I grew up watching, like Larry Fitzgerald. Not even grew up, Mike. I'm grown. Like that's when you know you're getting up there. When these guys that you watched and you're, because I mean these guys were, it wasn't that long ago, man. Adam Vinatieri too, yeah. Rightfully so. Breeze and Fitzgerald are in their first year of eligibility. Keekly and Vinatieri are in their second year. And obviously this class is going to be one of the more controversial classes because of who isn't in it.
Yeah. I love you, Drew Breeze. But I would have kicked you out and put in...
Bill Belichick,
yeah. I would have taken Keekly out and put in Bill Belichick.
I would, if you're going to take somebody out... What about, I mean, take out Roger Craig.
Well, he's a historical guy, so he's in his own little category.
Okay. I mean, he was a senior finalist, so he hadn't been, you know, in for a long time. You take out Adam Vinatieri and put Bill Belichick in there.
Yeah, I would do that too. But Adam Vinatieri does deserve to be in there.
No, he deserves to be in there, but if we're going to say, well, you can only have so many guys in for this year... You're telling me that the coach with six Super Bowls is not getting in over a kicker with a lot of Super Bowls? That's insane to me. 40 minutes after the hour, Mike, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Aaron texting in on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I think they need to take the Hall of Fame voting process out of the media's hands and into the hands of former players. Would you be good with that? I mean, because again, are former players watching every game? That's my only pushback on that. The media members that are given a Hall of Fame vote, they are told, yeah, you have to watch the game. You can't just watch the Broncos. They couldn't be you, Michael. You have to watch all the NFL. You have to immerse yourself in the NFL. And so can we count on former players to be able to do that?
No, I don't think you can. And a lot of them, they have CTE.
Ah, wow. Coming off the top
rope
there. I
hate to say it, but a lot of them have CTE and may not remember things.
I just think if it's going to be former players, it's probably going to be a former player that's in the media. Like that might help. Like you get a bunch of Tom Brady's or those kind of dudes. I mean, I'm for that. The process is terrible. They need to figure something else out.
Yeah, and I trust former players to be fairly objective. Obviously, Tom Brady's going to put Gronk in their first ballot, but also Gronk's pretty good, so he does deserve to go.
Yeah, I figured this one would ruffle your feathers. Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels was named assistant coach of the year. Obviously, Vance Joseph falls short. Josh McDaniels, Mike. Listen, as bad as he is as a head coach, the guy does know football. The guy is an amazing OC. He cannot get it to convert to being a head coach. He knows football. He's just a terrible leader.
And has no soul.
I'll probably agree with you on that. Snub there for Vance Joseph, or are you good with that? I mean, you took a young quarterback and a same thing with Vrabel winning the coach of the year thing. Man, they cleaned up on that. But it's kind of hard to say Vrabel gets coach of the year and Josh McDaniels gets OC of the year.
Yeah, it kind of feels like a snub, but trying to be as objective as possible, looking at what you did with a very young quarterback and going all the way to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well.
I can see a lot of people doing that. I can argue against it. Hey, look at what our offense was doing, and look how our defense played very well.
Won a lot of games for him, yeah, sure. I don't have a lot of energy on it. Also, McCaffrey won the Salute to Service Award for his work supporting U.S. service members. So some other another note to Bobby Wagner won the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award. He's got a He's got an interesting story. You know, his mother died because of complications following a stroke in May of 2029. She was 47, so he started doing a lot of charitable work, honoring her legacy through financial assistance for stroke research and rehabilitation. So, yeah, those kind of stories are obviously are pretty deep. And congrats to a guy like Bobby Wagner to win for winning the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year.
If you are up for the Walter Payton Man of the Year, I don't know if it's a good thing to say, well, he's not deserving.
Yeah,
because
you can't
they
really
kind
argue
of
that.
All are
yeah,
deserving.
You can't really argue that because they all go out and do something great.
You have 32 deserving guys. I wish you could give it to 32 deserving guys. Why do we need a competition? They're all great.
What if you just, yeah.
Especially the Broncos.
12:49 the time. Okay. We'll take a short break here, wrap up hour number two. We're going to bring in the big guns for a full-on Super Bowl chat. Patriots, Seahawks, we're going to bring in Tanner Schwint of Good Morning NoCo, the dude down the hall, and Mike Danza with himself will be in studio in just a few minutes. We'll be right back.
Two dudes, one mission. To provide the best morning radio in Colorado. Good Morning NoCo, weekdays 6 to 10. On Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, we're going to prep you for the big Super Bowl, for the big game. We'll talk football with the fellas. Also, just get into other things around the Super Bowl. You know, the week that was, the media week, the halftime show, the commercials, all of it that makes the Super Bowl what it is, Mike. Such a big deal. So, dancing with himself, dude down the hall, Tanner Schwint Show, going to be joining us in the Aloe Fiber Studios in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. The whole show. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.